When I first looked at our scripture for today, I wasn't sure that that was the text I wanted to try to use for this week. But the more I sort of sat with it, and as I will share, some things that happened early in the week helped me hear it in a new way. And so I hope you will be open and try to hear it in a new way, or in a way that speaks to our lives. It comes from Matthew 25. It's one of Jesus' parables, told very near the end of his life in Matthew's telling. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took a flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." What a week this one has been. It seems a very long time since Halloween last Saturday, doesn't it? All week, when I would try to think about my message for today, I kept realizing that I didn't know where we would be today emotionally, and though I didn't know what I would need to say. And then yesterday, when we finally heard election results, I had to figure out how to pull it together. I don't like doing Saturday night specials, but, you know, some weeks require it. And I hope you'll hear what I have to offer is more a sharing of my reflections and experiences than perhaps a very coherent, well-written sermon. Today, we are rejoicing. We're thankful. We are relieved, as Judy said. We are renewed in our hope for America. So today we celebrate. We celebrate not just the election of a man that we feel is someone of compassion, someone who understands that we need healing, who wants to unite us, but also the election of a woman for vice president. A woman for vice president. An African-American woman, the daughter of an immigrant, an Indian-American woman, 100 years after women got the right to vote. I saw on a news feed and was reminded of 4 years ago. In Rochester yesterday, people were showing up at Susan B. Anthony's grave, putting their "I voted" stickers all over Susan B. Anthony's grave. Today we are rejoicing. But Tuesday night, I confess, the red mirage, as they called it, got to me. It got me. Luke texted me about our son about 11 o'clock. We're doomed. And by about midnight, as I saw how many people had showed up to vote, I was feeling pretty discouraged, sad, angry, distressed that so many people still support this president. And I continue to wrestle with that. And questioning where God was in all of this. Bill will tell you, usually I'm calm and he's anxious. So since I got anxious, he got to go calm, which was a nice reversal for him, but not pleasant for me. My dog, Maverick, tuned in. Bill said he was upset because I was upset. I think he just needed to go do what he hadn't done earlier. So we went outside. And that was the best thing I could have done. Because Tuesday night outside about midnight was absolutely gorgeous. The moon was up. There were a few clouds. You could still see some stars. I could see Orion's constellation. And the words that came to my mind were from Psalm 90. 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's past, or like a watch in the night. Perspective. It was a reset, a restoring of a larger vision, a reconnecting to my hope and faith that is not about the outcome of an election. It's not about just what's happening on this plane. Our hope and faith has to be about, comes from a source that is so much bigger than the drama of human events. We had begun our election prayer vigils on Monday night. A number of you were parts of it at different times, either plugging in on Zoom, and I think others of you in your own ways were remembering and trying to pray together. That was very helpful for me, I think for many of you. It was a way to reconnect, to support each other, but again, a way to remind ourselves, our hope and faith is not ultimately about the results of an election. Monday night, one of the people not from First Baptist who joined us for our 9 o'clock Zoom prayer vigil was Nancy Gabriel, who's a leader in the Friends meeting. And at some point, as we were sharing aloud some prayers and some thoughts, Nancy shared an experience that she had last year. She was trying to update something on her computer, get something to do, be right, and do what it should do. And she said the message that appeared on her screen was something like this. This upgrade was not successful because the device was not connected to a power source. Anybody seen that on your phone or on your computer? I certainly have. And Nancy said it just jumped out at her, hearing that at a whole different level. This upgrade was not successful because it was not connected to a power source. That's what came to my mind, Nancy's sharing, when we began to look at this parable in Bible study on Tuesday night. This parable translated from first century oil lamps to 21st century computer technology realities. This is a parable, a wisdom teaching of Jesus about how we're called to live. And he said the kingdom of heaven is like this. This is what it's like to live in God's realm. And he talks about these 10 bridesmaids. And I think it may be helpful, just as we talked about on Tuesday night, to think about what this wedding scenario is describing, because it's so culturally different from our notion of weddings. My sense is, from what I know of weddings in another part of the Asian world, even still today in more rural settings, that what Jesus is talking about is a village where the bride's home is, waiting for the bridegroom's party to come from some other village. And again, there's no cell phone, there's no phone, there's no nothing. You wait till they show up, and you have no idea what time that's going to be. And these bridesmaids, who are part of the bride's family and community, are sent to wait and watch with their little lamp so that when the bridegroom's party shows up, they lift up their lights and they welcome them into the celebration, the party. So they're out there with their little oil lamps. But the foolish did not plan for the possibility that they didn't know how long they'd have to be there. The wise brought extra oil. The foolish did not. And when the bridegroom is delayed and they're having to wait, and they don't know when he's going to come, and they sort of doze off, and then they get the shout, "All right, he's coming," and they all wake up, but their lamps are burning low. They need more oil. And 5 have more oil, and 5 do not. Now, of course, what can bother us is, why didn't Jesus say they ought to share? Why didn't Jesus teach them to share? What's going on here? It seems so contrary to what we know about Jesus. The insight I got from Cynthia Bourgeau, which is so helpful for me, is this is a parable about living in God's realm, about being conscious, about being awake, about being a part of this realm of God's reality. And you can't be conscious for someone who's not. You can't be awake for someone who's asleep. They have to do it for themselves. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Those five foolish bridesmaids had to have their own oil. That is to say, they had to wake up to God's presence. The other five could not wake them up for themselves. They couldn't provide them that understanding, that upgrade. They had to be plugged in to the power source. In Matthew's telling, Jesus' parables often end up with kind of a harsh ending and sound sort of judgmental. And that definitely happens here, because then when they go and get their oil and they come back, they're locked out, they can't come in. And we hear it, I think, in terms of heaven and hell and people being eternally damned. I don't think that's the point. It's just magnifying the one central point of this parable. If you're not connected, you're shut out of experiencing God's realm. If you're not plugged into the power source of God's love, you can't know it. No one can do that for you. They can try. They can share. They can try to live it out. We can try to live it out for others, but we cannot give it to them. We can't be conscious. We can't upgrade someone unless they themselves are plugged into the source. This week I have felt this parable, the need to refill my lamp, to reconnect to the power source, to upgrade my consciousness on a regular level, regular basis to a higher level, as I was dealing with the emotional ups and downs of watching what was happening in our country. As people of faith, as people of hope, we are called to live in God's reality. God's realm. And it is a realm that transcends this drama we're living in. Yes, God cares deeply about justice and mercy for all people. We believe that. But we also have to hold on to God's perspective. 1,000 years are but a day in God's sight. If Joe Biden and Kamala Harris had lost, we would be sad and disheartened today. That would not change who God is or what God is still trying to do in our world. God's realm, that consciousness, that presence, that power source is always here for us. And we are called to live in the world, but not of it. To live in the world, trying to share God's justice, trying to work for God's will, but not drawing our strength and our hope from this world. So today we are rejoicing, and the world is rejoicing with us. Did you hear? They rang church bells in Paris. They set off fireworks in London and Edinburgh. That's powerfully moving. We are relieved and renewed, and that is real. There is this earthly reality that we are celebrating. And there is sweet joy that I think in some way connects the realms when we know that the votes that brought John Lewis, that brought Georgia into blue, came out of John Lewis's home district, Martin Luther King's home district. There's appreciation we can feel for the work of so many people who have worked so hard to empower people who are poor, people who feel oppressed, people who feel like their vote doesn't matter, people like Stacey Abrams, the Poor People's Campaign. We rejoice and we give thanks to God. And yet, in our rejoicing, we also know there are good people who see it very differently today. They're gathering for worship, and they are disappointed and angry and even afraid of what this means. They really think this is bad news for America. And so how do we move forward to deal with this polarization, this divide? How do we work for healing? Ann and Steve Farrell worked the polls in rural Cortland County, and Ann shared, realizing that so many of those people were not voting for who she voted for. But when she saw their calloused hands and their working boots, their simple goodness, their love for America, she knew they are good people. They simply want the best for their family and their community. God is calling us to work for healing. God is calling us to be healers. God is calling us for deeper empathy and greater compassion, to find ways to connect, to look for the things we can agree on with people who are very different from us. God is calling us to move out of our tribal identities. There is much work to be done. There is much work. As Judd Kilgore said when he signed on this morning, we woke up from a nightmare, but we still have many dreams that we need to make come true. There are many people, including my son, who is African American, who still said that when he got a text yesterday from an African American friend, it was, "Bro, be careful." And he wasn't talking about COVID. He was talking about the real threats they feel as African American young men of racial injustice. And so there is much work to do. We know that. But the way we do this work, the way we have the faith and the hope and the strength and the courage and the love we need, is not by our own power. It cannot be just from our own energy. If we try to bring light and love just from ourselves, our lamps will burn out. If we draw just from our own power, our batteries will run down, and we'll see that screen go black. The Spirit of God is a present, available, and God's power is here for us, but we have to keep on connecting, keep on drawing from that source that can give us the peace that passes all understanding, the joy that is there no matter the circumstances, the faith to keep on bringing light and keep on sharing love and keep on living as God's people on the good days and the bad. May God help us to be faithful. Let our light shine. Let our love and our hearts be open to all. In Christ's name, amen.